Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. On today's show, we have a very special guest. She is on Clayton season. Her name is Gabby, and we're going to get into her journey and get to know her a little bit better. But of course, we first got to start with hot takes. Yes. I was going to throw it to you, Mike, but I'm actually going to start today, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, partner. Let's hear it.
All right, my man. My hot take has to do with the first rose that Clayton attempted to give out because it eventually was rejected, Mike, as you saw. And I don't know, man. I just feel bad. I feel bad for Clayton as far as he's concerned because I kind of feel like it set a negative tone for his journey. You know, one of the things that a lot of bachelors and bachelorettes always say is that their one main fear is picking someone at the end and getting rejected, right? Like, the other person has to pick you too. So I'm sure it's extremely tough having to navigate through all these relationships and, you know, possibly choosing the wrong person. Like, that's scary as hell. So, like, if I was Clayton, you know, listen, Clayton is in there. He's having these conversations. He's having these interactions. So he's, you know, we got to believe that he's following his heart, right? But me just watching, like, if I was in his shoes, like, I would have never even offered this girl Rose. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get that.
He seems like such a genuine guy, and he really wants to find his person. And here you have a girl, like, from Jump Street. Like, before you even meet anybody, she's showing up to your room and telling you that she ain't ready. And that's a whole nother story. Like, I wanna hear from Sally because it's like, come on, girl. Like, you literally broke off an engagement a couple weeks prior. Like, I don't know the whole story, so I'm not going to get into too much of that. But, you know, she wasn't ready. You know, she shouldn't have been on there, right? But, you know, as far as Clayton is concerned, it's like, why even bring her on? You know what I mean? Why even offer a rose? You got 30 women that you're going to meet in a couple days that, or the next day or whenever, that are there for you, that, you know, are all in, right? It's like, why start off by giving this girl Rose, who clearly is thinking about somebody else or something else? For me, I would have just said, I would have heard her out. I would have, you know, had the conversation that he had with her, and I would have walked her out. Like, plain and simple. Like, I didn't even want to, you know, no offense to her. Like, listen, I'm sure you're a great girl, but one conversation that I have with you after you telling me what you told me is just not enough to keep you around. Like, I'm looking for something serious. I want somebody to have their entire heart open when they come to this process, because that's the type of guy that I feel Clayton is, and he wants that, the genuineness and the, you know, the openness and the humility and the vulnerability from other people. And I think it just set a negative tone, because you even heard him after the fact. He's like, damn, I got my first rose rejected. Like, not a great start. Now, granted, I'm sure he forgot about all that, you know, once he met the other women. But, you know, I just hated that for him. Like, if I was in his situation, I just wouldn't even mess with that. I would have just gone straight for, you know, the women that I was going to meet in a couple of days. But, you know, listen, he's going with his heart, right? So, you know, I just hope that at the end of his journey, like, his heart leads him in the right direction and he finds his person.
I hope he finds his person as well. I actually think that she may be back on the season.
Oh, geez. I was actually thinking that as well. I was like, there's no way she's just going to leave and not,
she
not
may come
back.
We never know. I took that interaction completely different than you. I do agree with you, though, that I wouldn't have offered her a rose, but I was looking at it from her perspective. And I don't feel that he was rejected. I would say that's kind of a harsh word to use in this regard towards Clayton and their situation that took place. I think that she was in the right. I understand how you're looking at it from, like, Clayton. One of the worst fears of the lead is to, like, get to the end and that person rejects you. I think the real worst fear is to be in love with someone and they have feelings for someone else and they never told you. I think that's the real worst feeling. I'd rather get rejected over, you know, someone just doesn't want me because they're thinking about somebody else. So I think Sally did the right thing. She was honest with how she felt. And I, you know, emotions touch people in different ways, right? She had just was supposed to get married like around that date, you know, depending on how the show was filmed or whatever. I was looking at it from her perspective. Like, she knew that she couldn't go through with this. And I really respected her because she liked him, albeit one conversation, but she liked him. She felt some vibes with him and she still had to follow her heart, which was not in the right place. And so I looked at it from her perspective. Yes, in Clayton's regard, I wouldn't have offered her a rose, but I think that Clayton handled the situation extremely well.
Oh yeah, he was a complete gentleman about the whole situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Me, I just, like, if she would have accepted the rose, then it's like that would have always been in the back of my mind. And I agree with you. Like, I do. It was better to do it at that point than later on, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know,
you
if she was feeling
that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Total respect to Sally for coming out and at least doing it from the jump, because at least at that point, Clayton's not invested, right? It's like,
exactly.
Okay, I like you. I feel like I have a connection with this one conversation that we had. But it's like, you rejected my rose. Like, I'm sure he got over it. It wasn't like this was,
yeah, he got over it,
you know, final four or whatever. And, you know, now all of a sudden she comes out like, I can't do this because I'm thinking about when I was going to get married. Like,
now let me ask you this, though. I would have been pissed if I was one of the other girls and I'm seeing this girl, Sally, get a rose when we're technically not even supposed to see the person yet. Like, we haven't even got an opportunity to see them yet.
Oh, no.
You got the first rose. I would have been
pissed.
She would have had haters like,
and I love you, producers, but you know you would have had that girl wearing that rose loud and proud.
Oh, yes.
Like, if it was me, I would have been like, I'm putting that shit in my pocket. And then once the rose ceremony comes on, I would have put it on at the end. Like, but yes. No, they wouldn't let you do that. They wouldn't let you do that.
Sally would have been hated in that house.
Oh, bullseye.
If she would have got the rose. Because literally no other girl even had the opportunity yet. And so to save herself a lot of drama, I think that worked out right.
Like you said, I actually agree with you. I think her story is not over. Like, she may.
Yeah.
It may be a situation where, you know, she may come back and say, you know what? I was going to regret, you know, my decision if I didn't come back and at least give it a shot. You know, I know I was feeling the way I was feeling at that moment, but, you know, I want to give it a shot. And she'll come back, and then now all of a sudden,
and then
the
we'll
drama
see what
will
happens.
Begin. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Before we get into my hot take, I want to say this last point in regards to your hot take, which is I respect people that are honest and in tune with their emotions. I remember being on Bachelor in Paradise, and I was talking to Cindy Lutako,
okay.
And she was telling me, I never watched the show prior, and she was telling me about how she had sent herself home on Clayton season because she felt that it wasn't for her, right? And so I respect Sally for following her intuition. Like, I can never hate somebody, or I just have only love for an individual that follows their heart. And even though it's not her season per se, it's still her heart. You know, it's a two-way street. And so I just think she did a phenomenal job on that.
I guess I'm just like, obviously I don't know her entire story. Like, I don't know the context of what happened with her past. Like, maybe it makes sense if I were to hear her out, but I guess for me, it's like, this wasn't the first time you had those feelings. I imagine those feelings came up throughout the entire process leading up to that day.
I'd agree with you there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to have thought about it. And it's like, if you were thinking that, are you really ready? That's all I'm saying. No knock on her. Like you said, respect to her. Like, I'm glad she did it when she did it. And I thought Clayton, like we said, handled it like a true gentleman.
And I think that's why I have no ill will towards her, because when she did it, if she would have waited to like week eight or something,
worse.
That would have been like, yo, she would have been hearing a lot from you, right? But I have no ill will towards her. But my hot take, man, and we've been seeing a lot of this on the Reddit and just, you know, the people that be within Bachelor Nation. Can you date someone that has dated an acquaintance in the past? My thoughts are, my hot take
on that.
Absolutely. If they're an acquaintance, what's wrong with that? Like, they're not my best friend. They're not my road dog. They're not my, you know, my brother that I would call, or my sister that I would call. They're simply an acquaintance that I know. And then also, yeah, it's just that. Like, there's no ill will towards that. Like, if it was you, Brian, I couldn't date a woman that you had dated because you're like my brother. You know, that's just different. Oh. And I would want to know that in the beginning. But here's a really hot take. What if I didn't know until like years later and I'm already
in love? And you're like already in love.
At that point, I'm just going to stick with it. I love you. You know, love is a real thing. You got to stick with it at that point.
Like, how would you feel though, finding out, like, girl, why don't you tell me before? You know what I'm saying? Like, why wasn't this brought to my attention before?
If it was you and I, then I would say that question because obviously we have a podcast together. If I'm in love with a girl, she's going to subscribe to Talking Out. You know, she would know who you are already. But if she never, like, if it wasn't you, let's say it's one of my boys, even if it was one of my boys, because if I'm in love with a woman, she's going to meet my people. And so then I would agree with you. Right. Because it's like, yo, you knew this and you withheld that from me.
Like, would you buy the excuse, though? It's like, look, Mike, if I told you that I had dated your acquaintance or friend or whoever, like, I didn't want to lose you. I really liked you. I wanted to give this a shot. And as you see, we got together. We're in love, you know, and maybe would have never gotten started if I would have told you that in the beginning.
Well, see, that's the thing. If it was an acquaintance, she may not know that I know that person if it's simply an acquaintance. This could be somebody from the Bachelor Nation. She may not know that me and that individual, like, that I have his number in my phone.
Yeah.
Right? She may not know that. But if it's, like, one of the boys, one of my homies, one of my best friends, that's different. Right? That's, like, you knew that.
I agree.
But to your question, though, I would simply ask her, like, what's the point of a relationship if we can't be open and honest and communicate? If you knew this was my boy, baby, all you got to do is tell me and then we talk it out like grown adults.
And like would that fact that she just let you know, would that begin to fester, right? It would like that and mess up your psyche or would you just keep it 0%. Moving and go with her?
Zero. And I'm so happy that I can answer that with so much conviction because I'm mature. I've you know, I got some age under my belt now. I just had a birthday. I'm matured now, right? And so it wouldn't affect me at all. It could be my best friend. If she told me and I was like, I wanted her, and then I talked to my best friend, he was like, bro, that was like 12 years ago, whoop-de-woo. Nah, I wouldn't care.
Would you feel a certain type of way like if you guys all hung out?
No.
Okay.
But.
Because I know that could be tough with some people, right?
Pero, if my homeboy, like he got mad at me or got drunk, and said something under his tongue, he gonna get knocked like quick. I'm like, bro, don't you ever say that again, bro. Like, you know, don't you ever say that again. But if she told me up front, she was honest, sincere, I talked to the homie, you know, he told me, then it goes back to what you always say, what we always talk about is communication, effective communication, just talk about it. But what are your thoughts on it?
No, I think I agree with you. It's all about the context, right? You know, if it was like my boy and it's like, it's too close, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hey, listen, sorry, but, you know, I know you had relations. It just wouldn't feel right to me. But like you said, if it's an acquaintance, you know, somebody in Bachelor Nation that, you know, maybe you talk to once, you know what I'm saying? Or you see them on social and that's it. Like,
you see them on social.
It's not that big of a deal. And I don't think anybody, you know, in that triangle would have a problem with that. You know what I mean?
Especially within like a group, especially within a small group, right? Because for example, take Bachelor Nation, right? I think it's like roughly maybe 900 people within Bachelor Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them live in like five hot zones, right?
Yeah.
LA, Nashville, like there's like five places.
San Diego,
yeah. And probably one more, right? There's like five hotbeds. You're normally, it makes sense to have run into the same circles.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. It's all about the context, right? So that's just my hot take. But we have Gabby today. She's our first guest of the new year, 2022. Shout out to Gabby. Yes. Can't wait to have her on. And I just want to hear her thoughts because she's getting a lot of flack. And then she's also getting a lot of support. And I just want to hear her thoughts on everything. Just hear from the horse's mouth. How about you?
I agree, man. I want her to clear the air.
Yes, let's talk it out.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome, Gabby, to Talking It Out. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Happy to have you on.
Yes, definitely so. Gabby, it's nice to meet you. We saw you this past week on Clayton season. We saw your entrance with a pillow talk. she said, and yo, there's been so many things leading up to you coming on this season. We've heard former contestants speak about you. We see the things on the internet. Here on Talking It Out, I don't know if you know, but we do a hot take, right? And this week's hot take, first off, thank you so much for being our first guest of 2022. Can we get a shout out?
Yes, thank you.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. But Gabby, you are someone who people are talking about. We do a hot take at the beginning of every single episode before contestants come on. And my hot take today was, is it, like, how would you feel, or is it okay if someone that you dated, or someone that you're dating dated one of your friends, right? And I personally felt if they're an acquaintance, no big deal. If it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, if I wasn't in love with them, no big deal either. And a lot of people are bringing up your past relationship right now. You already know where I'm going. You've been on the internet a bit leading up to the show with rumors that you've dated two former contestants, Dean Unglert and Blake Horseman. Like, just let's just talk it out. What's your thoughts? What took place?
Yeah, we're getting right into it.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy. You guys know, like, it's hard. There's so many things kind of running through my mind, so much I'm experiencing, all new things, all, you know, pretty good things. And yeah, when I came home, you know, we don't have our phones for when we're filming. And then I came home to, like, all this stuff that Blake and Dean had been talking about me. It seemed like all really positive things, which, you know, I'm grateful for. I feel like there's, like, a lot of conversation about it. And I dated Dean, so, like, over 10 years ago. I think we were 18, 19. So maybe 12 years ago now in college. He's one of my first loves, just, like, very distant. Aww. From my, yeah, right, because you were on the season with him, right?
Yes, I was.
Yes. Oh,
Dean. I didn't even know that. Wow.
What? Okay. Come on, Mike, get with it.
My bad.
Bachelor Nation history here.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was just so long ago. It's a distant past from my experience on The Bachelor and, you know, Clayton and I's story. It's very much its own thing. I'm almost really grateful that it was far in the past, so I could focus more, you know, on Clayton and kind of be separate, at least so I thought. I knew, like, things were going to come up. Blake and I had mutual friends, again, like, I want to say when I first got out of college, so, like, 2013, 2014, we never actually went on a date. There was no drinks paid for, no dinner paid for.
Wait, where's that coming from? Did he say that?
What?
Did he say that?
No, I mean, he's saying he dated. We dated. Blake did.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So, and you guys saying you didn't date.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
I mean,
okay.
He's like definitely friends with friends, you know. We had spent time together and stuff, but definitely no, like, official dating, like, no really kind of formal, no exclusivity. And again, like, it was a really long time ago. So, yeah, it's nice to kind of have that separation. I've had boyfriends since, both of them, that have really taught me a lot of things and kind of I guard as relationships that I've learned things from, kind of helped me grow into myself as a woman and as a partner, after them. So I think they're great people. You guys, I'm sure, know them. And I'm grateful for all the nice things that they said about me. But it's nice to kind of clear up my dating history, which seems to be a topic of conversation.
Like, honestly,
people are definitely talking about it.
Yeah, I honestly don't see what the big deal is. I mean, you dated them before they were even on the show. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right.
I feel like people are trying to twist it, I guess, into, like, you were dating them when they were already on the show and now you're on Clayton season, but that's totally not the case. So you are there for the right reasons. Can we say that?
Yes. I think that's what people are
yeah,
getting at. They just don't know the facts. And so,
yeah.
Gabby, we appreciate you for just, you know, talking it out, because if you don't know the facts and you just see the optics of this contestant on Clayton season dated these two prior contestants without knowing the truth, then they're just going to like word vomit, right? I love when you were just speaking, you said that Clayton and I's story is so different. It's its own entity, right? That was beautiful that you said that. I'm not sure exactly what Blake is discussing, since, you know, we hear from the horse's mouth, y'all really didn't date. But how do you feel when people say you're not here for the right reasons?
Totally. I've never heard it flat out like that. So thank you. Cause I'm like,
I'm not trying to like, you, I'm not trying to stab you.
No, I mean, I feel really grateful that I do get to talk about it. Like, I'm an open book. I know a lot is going to unfold over the next couple months. And I think people will see the proof is in the pudding. Like, Clayton and I's journey was definitely like special to us. All about us. I mean, things from my past that we came up and, you know, kind of being there and being separate from everybody, like really, you know, no one involved with the show, Dean and Blake were never brought up. It was never questioned. Right. So it was kind of nice. You know, I understand they have tight connections to the Bachelor franchise and that this conversation would come up, but it was really nice just like being able to be in the present with Clayton, focusing on a very new and different relationship. And I mean, like, people will see eventually. I know there's like a lot of hype right now. Even before the first episode aired, people had so many opinions on me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't even really know me or like who I am as a person. And I mean, they're both like very eligible bachelors who had happened to be in my dating pool. So like, why wouldn't I at some point be involved?
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. You can date whoever you want.
Right.
Did you talk to them at all? Like, I guess after you dated and between the time that they were on the show, like, was there ever any communication there, or was it you guys just broke up and that was it?
Dean and I, we had kind of had some communication for sure. In and out. Like, I would consider him a friend, definitely, and especially like after a breakup, you know, it's.
I like Dean.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's nice to kind of maintain that, but it was definitely kind of like its own thing. Like, we both are really supportive of each other. He knew I always wanted to be a dancer, so he was really supportive of my career as a Broncos cheerleader. He's a huge Broncos fan. So very, like, you know, kind of like surface level, I support you, you support me, like no hard feelings. I really haven't communicated with Blake at all. I appreciate all the nice things that he has said about me, and I would have nothing but nice things to say about him, but like, we didn't really have the foundation that Dean and I have to even continue a friendship. I respect both of them. I think they've both done great with their platform. I know, you know, Dean and Kaylin have done, like, they're so well loved in Bachelor Nation, as they should be. I'm like so happy for him and kind of don't want anything but good things for the both of them.
I love that. Well, Gabby, kind of the cool thing is here on Talking It Out, we get to talk it out. So therefore, we got that BS out the way.
Yeah.
Let's get to
find
out.
Put it to bed.
Yeah. We put it to rest
now. That's a bed. That's it.
I want to know who you are. You mentioned, you know, you and Dean, like, are friends, and like, you were talking about supporting each other. Your love of being a dancer was fulfilled. Can we start there? Like, tell us about your dancing.
Yeah. Oh, God. I could talk your ear off about kind of my, like, career with dance and stuff. And I was a Broncos cheerleader for 5 years, and it really was like everything that I've always wanted to do. And it teaches you so much. It teaches you like teamwork, you know, putting others before yourself. You have such a sense of community and really just like people that have your back. There's so much more than dance. It's like the team aspect. The Broncos is a great organization. We have the best fans in the NFL.
Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know about all that, Gabby.
No, I will fight with you. We definitely have the best uniforms. I'll say it. But much respect to the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. But our chaps are honestly, nobody can fight against that. But I've always wanted to be a dancer. It's my number one passion. It's taught me so much in life, and especially just like being on the team, it's really helped me grow into myself as a woman. It's like a confidence builder. You get to meet all kinds of people. Love that. So,
how hard was that? Because Mike, I don't know if you have you seen that show? I imagine, or
briefly, the Dallas Cowboys show,
the Dallas Cowboys show? Cheerleaders, yes, that, yeah, the tryouts and all that, and it seems really intense. Like, can you talk about that? Like, what that experience was like?
Oh my God, totally. It's really intense. I'd say like Broncos kind of has a well-known like technical dance team. We're all trained dancers. I know we're called cheerleaders, but we all have a history in dance. And tryouts are like a week-long grueling process of a dance and interview and picking up choreography. So you're kind of tested on all of these strengths and weaknesses. And they are really looking for like well-rounded women, but much like The Bachelor, you're surrounded by kind of the cream of the crop, very talented women who are not only good at dancing, but really smart, really beautiful. So it's like humbling. Yeah, it teaches you so much. And I think like as a woman, kind of always being around women, and that is part of my life that I love, is you learn how to really empower each other and respect each other. And like kind of came from like a non-competition standpoint, which I was able to carry with me with my bachelor experience. Like, I'll be the first to say, you know, I got close with all the girls, and it really added to my experience.
It really does sound like that, you know, being a cheerleader has propelled you and helped you so much on your experience to go on The Bachelor.
Absolutely.
But Gabby, you know, we do our research, right? And Brian and I know that you won the Rookie of the Year Team Clown, right? So how much of that comes across on The Bachelor?
Oh my God, I was actually so dead at the first episode that I feel like my interviews were so funny, and I was kind of surprised. I mean, not funny. People are gonna be like, that girl thinks she's so funny. But they picked like the funny parts of me, which I was kind of surprised, like as the first episode. This story I'm sure will tell itself too. Like, I definitely lead with humor. I'm like, I know one will believe me, but I was kind of a shy kid and not as outgoing. So I had to teach myself how to like find my niche and be outgoing and connect with people. And it definitely came with humor in a very awkward way. I am really aware, you know? So watching it back and kind of seeing how that is like my true self, especially in the beginning when I'm a little uncomfortable, and I can't wait for the season to unfold and people to see different sides of me. But it is me through and through. Like, if I'm uncomfortable, I'm gonna try and crack a joke and like look weird.
Speaking of jokes, I mean, you had you came out with a bang with your entrance. Let's do a little pillow talk. Where did that idea come from? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, totally. I was brainstorming for a while. I had like one of my other ideas was I wanted to pull things that remind me of Clayton like out of my dress, like a sugar packet because he's sweet, and like a little chalupa.
I like that.
You say a chalupa?
A little chalupa.
I was like, what?
No, a Cholula. Like,
oh,
a little
Cholula.
Yeah. Came with breakfast one day in room service, and I was like, oh, I should do something with this. So, but I didn't really like have a punchline. And then discussing it with some people, they're like, you know, it's not guaranteed to talk to him the first night. So I think you have to go bigger if, you know, to up your chances of potentially. And I was like, okay, I'm down. I'm like, as long as I can kind of make it funny. And then the pillow was brought up, and yeah, it was, I never want to come off, you know, it's like overtly sexual. I'm not one dimensional. I want to lead like definitely with a lot of humor. So I kind of was like, okay, I think I can do this and make it my own, and people see my personality. Even though the line could be kind of like, whatever, brash, like, I don't want to sit on your face first thing, but it was really like
she went all in. She went all in.
I like how you said, though, you lead with your humor. So there you go.
Yeah, it went with kind of like, at least for me, I had like, you know, like a prop to kind of tie it in, and like with his face on the pillow. So I wasn't just like, you know, it was more like, oh, look, I have an art and craft to support my joke.
Exactly. So, how did the other women take it? When you went in the house?
They were like, I mean, to my face, they were like dying, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, they're like, what's that pillow about? And I was like, well, I just told them.
Well, you just said something. You just said to your face they were dying?
Yeah, I'm sure that they were like, what the hell did that girl just do?
You know they do. You know they do.
Yeah, which like respect. Same. I'm like, God, I'm a shit talker too. Like, I respect it. But they were pretty nice about it. And like, they're so funny. We're all really supportive of each other. I don't know love if people want to hear that, but our group chat is like off the chain. Like, it was really fun. I was more scared of like what my parents were going to think. So we haven't talked about it.
I was about to say, what do they think? What did you do?
Yeah. I was like, this morning, I was like, what did you think of the episode? And they were like, oh, we thought it was great. And I was like, okay, let's just like not make eye contact.
just leave it. They just didn't even bring it up. They just didn't even bring it up. I love it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think people want to hear you. You said, I don't know if that's what people want to hear. People want to hear you. They want to hear your truth. So you're perfectly fine. You're doing everything great. This is just by being yourself. But Gabby, we haven't seen the mansion in forever.
I know.
Made a comeback.
Like, it was kind of cool to see the mansion. I was like, wow. You know, the room that I was thinking back about the rooms that just the layout of the mansion and everything. How was that?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I feel so incredibly lucky, you know, that we were kind of the first season back. It felt like a restart, huge. I know people are going to be excited. And just like the iconic mansion to have like huge memories there and it be like so much a part of my journey.
So, Gabby, you seem like a bubbly person. You have dating history. You have some very unique experiences by being an NFL cheerleader for 5 years. And I actually want to talk more about that because I know some stuff about you in the USO. But then you go on this show and this experience. Like, what are you looking for? Like, what are we anticipating to see from you on this season? I really want to know.
Just like in general, or like my like finding
like
love.
And like you're in your in finding your husband.
Yeah. I'm an ICU nurse as well, which I've been doing for 8 years, and I started when I was pretty young. Both those experiences kind of mixed together have really shaped who I am, have taught me like invaluable life lessons when it comes to kind of compassion, empathy. Broncos taught me like, you know, a lot of like confidence in how to connect with people. So for me, like, it couldn't have happened at a better time. I think I was finally at a place where it's like, dang, I know who I am. I've also been through some shit, you know, in my childhood, been years of therapy, which I love, but it's really helped me come into a person who's ready to be a partner. And I think I was able to like lead with that kind of on this big journey. It was less of like me still learning, still navigating my dating life. It's like, you know, I've been through rejection and it builds character, and I'm here to like show everybody kind of like what I've learned and really show my person and, you know, Clayton, who I am and what I've learned, and that like I'm an independent person for sure. But also I love being in a relationship because I love the companionship kind of, and just working together more as a team and like having someone in your life that's going to, you know, you can kind of navigate all the hard stuff with, and that is going to challenge you. Like, I think our lives, we learn different things in a relationship than we do by yourself. I've learned a ton by myself, and I really like learned a lot, you know, being in a relationship, and I'm ready to be with someone and you want to say something.
No, bro, I was going to say, Brian, I see why Gabby's on the Bachelor, bro. I see why. Like, you're just checking off all the qualities, right?
She's
there.
Ready. Like, she's ready to open her heart and be vulnerable. And I mean, it's shining through in this interview for sure.
Gabby, you just said that you had went through some shit in your childhood. Do we get an opportunity to see some of that on the show?
You do. And it was just like anyone, and even to people watching, I don't think you know how hard it is to really talk about that stuff, knowing that it's going to be aired nationally, internationally. So it takes me a while to open up for sure. Like the first couple weeks, I feel like, you know, I'm kind of in the background, like kind of testing the waters for sure. And then I'm able to open up more and find a way to talk about things that have shaped me more objectively. You know, I'm past it. I've reflected on it. I've worked through all the things that happened. So I do feel grateful that I'm at a point where I can talk about it from a stance that, like, almost more educational. I've learned so much about myself, and that I'm willing to give to someone else, and instead of talking straight from emotion. So I think people will see that too, and I'm grateful for that. Oh my God, thank you. I don't want you guys to think I'm like whatever, like this robot. You'll see that.
No, we don't think that at all. We're listening to you, getting to know you. Like, I think you're pretty cool and bubbly.
Absolutely. Gabby, on behalf of Mike and everybody here, we want to thank you for what you do as an ICU nurse. Obviously, we're in a pandemic right now.
The true heroes.
Yes, absolutely. Frontline worker. Like, talk to us about that. Like, what has it been like working on the front lines during this pandemic?
Thank you for asking. It's been hard, and I feel like this is holding actually a lot of responsibility, just being asked this question and knowing that a lot of healthcare workers, I get to kind of speak for them, and not for them, but kind of with them. And it's hard growing. I say growing up because I started when I was 22. As an ICU nurse, you're around a lot of death and dying. And you learn quick, kind of have these important conversations that you don't normally have. And then working, it's already hard as a healthcare worker, I think, in our country, especially nurses being at the bedside, and ICU nurses a lot of times having the death and dying in the forefront, and then COVID exacerbating that. So it's hard. It's really hard. It's challenging. I think I've been able to kind of walk away and recharge. I'm grateful to have a skill that is much needed during the pandemic.
This girl's amazing.
It's like everybody wants to help, and not saying it's also my career. You know, this is what I do for work, much like what you guys do for work. And I don't want to like sit on a platform of like, oh, I'm a hero. Like, I know I fell into this because I'm a nurse and that's what I chose to do. And I love being a nurse. And then this huge pandemic hit, and they need people with similar skills. So I'm grateful to have given back, but it is really hard. And it's hard with having friends and family, having different opinions, not working at the bedside and kind of seeing the immediate outcomes of COVID and how it can be fatal. So
I can't even imagine, seeing what COVID has done firsthand, being a frontline worker, and then dealing with friends and family that you love and care about, having differences of opinion, and you're like, yo, I see this shit every day. I know that had to be hard. So just kudos to you. And I just have to give you more kudos because I think that you're pretty awesome, Gabby. Like, you were the first woman and the first NFL cheerleader to co-win the Pop Warner Humanitarian Award for all the service that you do during the pandemic and continuing to do, doing both at the exact same time, being a cheerleader and a frontline ICU worker. How did that make you feel?
Oh, it was a huge honor, a huge. I had no idea, I was even like eligible or that. Pop Warner was debating to give it to a woman and a cheerleader or a nurse and things like that. So I feel incredibly grateful. And also just like, thank you. A lot of what we do in cheerleading is mentor, young women or little girls. And I think like the idea of having like a science-based career, any kind of career, but especially being in science, because it's special to me, not that it's any more important, but, and, being able to have a successful career, do what you love and be a cheerleader, and kind of make a difference in both realms. Not saying that me personally, I have ever, made a difference. Like it's a group effort. It's all healthcare workers and all cheerleaders, but it feels really, really great to be honored. And I'm just like so grateful, undeserving for sure. But for it to even just be like recognized is huge. And I wish honestly that all healthcare workers during this pandemic, feel like they are being recognized and feel like they're making a difference, because they really are.
Absolutely. What was it like juggling, being a cheerleader and being an ICU nurse? Like, how did you handle all that?
It was honestly like a great balance, because I got the best of both worlds. I always say like the nurses at work kind of raised me They really helped mentor me. They had life experience under the belt that I didn't. So I feel like I got these drastic worlds of, like, you know, at work, huge decision making, dealing with critical illnesses, dealing with people, learning how to navigate like conversations, learning how to advocate for your patients, especially as a young woman, kind of coming into your voice. And then on the opposite end of things, like being able to be in the community, to connect with fans, to dance, which like people don't really get to live out their passions this late in life like I had been able to. I mean, it is like a huge release for me. It's my first love for sure. So I think they both balanced each other out and helped me, complementing each other in the way that nursing helped me become a better cheerleader and cheerleader helped me become a better nurse.
See that, man. I can't imagine how it is to be a nurse, but one thing I would think when you see people, you know, passing on to the afterlife is that it makes you appreciate life so much. And you get to, like, literally, like you just said, live out your childhood dreams, your first love ever. So just, I know that has to be amazing. You're just like doing it all. Cause I know that you also did a 10-day tour with the USO when you were, you know, were a cheerleader with the Broncos. How was that experience for you?
Oh God, it was amazing. We didn't go on a lot of USO tours for the first couple years that I was a cheerleader. Cause it was not that it was a thing of the past, but it was like less accessible. Different, you know, I don't know what happens. We just weren't doing it. I come from a military family. My dad's retired Air Force.
Hey, shout out.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for our military and living it firsthand. It was so rewarding to be able to give back. And it's hard. You get to kind of connect with our soldiers who, you know, we're grateful for what they do and we appreciate them. But seeing them deployed, you know, eating with just each other, being away from their families for months. And like being able to give them like a glimmer of hope and joy is like more than really you can ever ask for. And just like, it gives you a better appreciation, I think, and understanding of our military. I mean, like, we're doing this podcast because like of our country and our military and just like the trickle down. It's so crazy. So being able to give back, especially coming from a military family, was one of the best experiences I've had as a Broncos cheerleader.
Love that. So Gabby, getting back to the show, without giving too much away now, what do you hope people get to know about you on this season of The Bachelor?
I hope they just get to know that like, whatever they see, I promise, is me. I thought people probably saw that last night. It's like, I'm always just going to be myself, good or bad, awkward, ugly, cry, whatever. I just wanted to walk away being like, I was myself through and through. And I felt like I wasn't ever kind of reading from a script or felt like I was being told to feel some sort of way. I mean, there's guidance and I would be the first to be like, no, you know, this is me. And it's going to be hard to watch back. Like even yesterday was hard. I'm like, dang, some part of me was like, maybe I should have kind of toned it down a little bit. But I also grow a lot, Matt. And just the way I think I become comfortable with being more vulnerable. It's scary as hell being in love, falling in love. And it's even scarier doing it on camera. Mm-hmm. So like, it takes me a while to open up, but you know, I really wouldn't change it because that's me in real life. And then slowly, I think you'll see that I like peel back layers and you'll see many different sides of me. But yeah, that's, you know, and like my journey with Clayton, of course, I can't wait for people to see.
We can't wait to see it. And
yes,
again, just love that you're being yourself, right? Like, it's hard for anybody to fall in love while a camera is in your face the entire time. Brian, you know, he's married to his love. We'll watch your season unfold, but we just love that you are just being yourself.
Like, that's the confidence for, to right?
be yourself, yeah. The confidence to say, what you see is me. I watch it back and it's hard. Right, that sentence in and of itself is just, you know, it helps the people, that helps the audience realize you're just human.
Yeah, totally. And even like being on the other side of things, like I get it, you know, it's so easy to kind of not judge, but just perceive what's given to you on camera. Yeah, on the other side as a viewer, but being in it is a totally different thing. And I have so much respect for like cast members past and for the women on my season and Clayton. Like, it is hard as hell. But we all support each other, and it's challenging. I think it's just another opportunity to kind of solidify, like, hey, I'm this person. I'm not perfect, but it's like, it's all I got.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's enough.
So I got to ask, you know some people within Bachelor Nation prior to going on. Did you get any advice?
I didn't.
You're like, I'm good. Unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know if unfortunately is the right word. I think that you're going to be perfectly fine throughout the season.
Did you get advice, Mike?
No, but I would give advice. My advice would be, like, I should have shaved my chest hair, but I didn't get any advice.
The taco meat, as you like to call it?
Yeah, taco meat. I wish I would take care of.
Appetizing.
You said appetizing. Well, Gabby, I love to ask, you know, people this when we have them on a pod. If and when we have you on in a year from now, what will make you happy that you said you've accomplished?
I think really my greatest accomplishment after being on the show is just like putting myself into every challenge and like every opportunity. You know, there's a common theme that's like, the more you put in, the more you'll get out. And at first I was like, so sketched out. I'm like, what is this? Like, can it actually work? You know, kind of being a skeptic, but that is how I am in all things. But you know, with guidance and just like, I think challenging myself, like you came here for a reason and I didn't want to have any regrets and I didn't want to leave being like, oh, I should have done that more. I should have, you know, leaned in more. So I think I took every challenge, whether it was like group dates, discussions with Clayton, kind of putting myself out there, like you challenge yourself and then you overcome and then you grow. And the next time it gets even kind of bigger. And I feel like a year from now, I'm really going to reflect on that and be grateful and like watch and see kind of how it's changed me in a good way.
Love that.
I think everyone listening to this today, I just want to adore you even more and can't wait to watch your season unfold. So thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much, Gabby. Love it. Appreciate you.
Thank you. You guys are great. I wish I could ask you questions, but I know it's not how it works.
possibly in the future. We never know.
Yeah.
But happy new year and wishing you nothing but success and love and happiness.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Take care, Gabby.
Have a great
one. It's nice to meet you. Thank you.
I loved having Gabby as our first guest of 2022, just as a guest in general. She seems so bubbly, so honest, humble, seems to know herself, which is really amazing. I love that she was introspective a lot. And I really want to see what, you know, took place in her childhood that she seems to have grown so much from. She said, and I quote, I believe, she's learned how to speak not from emotion. I thought that was amazing. She said that. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed our conversation with her. Like, I thought she is very mature. You know, she's gone through a lot. Like you said, I'm really looking forward to see, you know, what went down with her family. But I just think her background, you know, being a cheerleader, being on that team, in that team atmosphere, and being an ICU nurse, I mean, much respect, you know, especially in today's world. I can't even imagine how much that helped her, you know, grow leading into this journey on The Bachelor. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how her relationship with Clayton unfolds, because I feel like she's very humorous, like we saw. Yeah. And, you know, she had a great entrance. And, you know, I'm really hoping that they end up together. But, you know, I guess we'll see.
I'm just going to say I want to see their season unfold. Yes. Can't say all that. I will say, though, my little brother is definitely probably rooting for her because my little brother is a Bronco fan. So he already has that connection with Gabby. So let's go Cowboys. I'll say it like that.
No Cowboys. They're gonna choke like they always do. We'll see. But anyway, to all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. And guys, gotta throw this out there. We are casting for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So make sure to head to BachelorNation.com /apply. Again, that's bachelornation.com/apply. You could find the love of your life. You never know.
You never know. You did. It's out there for people. And you know, we always love to hear your opinions, your stories, your insights. When you don't like us, when you do like us, please, we really do listen to it and we grow from it. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow, message us on social at Talking Out BN. That's Talking Out, B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation on IG, Bachelor Nation on TikTok and Facebook, and Bachelor Nation on Twitter. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And baby, I said it once before, I'm going to say it again. Don't DM me no more until you hit that follow. We love y'all.